It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, now at 10 p.m. Well, we've been at 10 p.m. for a while. Everyone knows that. Here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area, and of course worldwide on the 77 WABC app and at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Yes. Thank you, New York. Nielsen has us continuously in the top 10 in New York AM radio. It's pretty cool. A couple of months ago, we were number 3. Tell your friends to tune in. We'll get back to them. Maybe we'll get to number 1. Yes. This radio show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business insights on so many professions and categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, real estate, strategic planning, communications, financial planning, marketing and advertising, time management, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Special thank yous, as we do each week, Pesach Trapper, the show's producer, thank you. And of course, to the entire team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays such an important support role, in particular, Cirilli, Rena, Miriam, Dina, thank you. And of course, to the great folks at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, thank you. Also, got to give a special mention to the various forums that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Of course, Mishpacha Magazine, the monthly Take 5 column. Just last week, they featured the interview I had with Tom Cortese, the COO of Peloton. In case you missed it, you can go to mishpacha.com. We also have it up on our site, mybradio.com, mybradio.com. And as the listeners know, all past episodes, every single guest that we've had on the show is there. That's the resource to find. You could listen to the interview, many of them that are videoed. You could watch the video. We have a full YouTube channel. It's all available by going to mybradio.com, and you could actually pick by industry. Some other platforms that were syndicated on, C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV, Audio Boom, Player.fm, iTunes, YouTube. And, of course, we are on Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV as well. But the easiest way to access every single guest that we've had, over 120 by now, mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Well, without further ado, going to tonight's very special guest. We're on location. My guest this evening is none other than Maury Litwack, the executive director of Teach NYS. Well, actually, Teach NYS is even a division of Teach Advocacy Network. That's the nationwide network. There's going to be plenty on that during this hour. Maury has over 15 years of public policy and political experience, including serving as the Washington liaison for Miami-Dade County and a legislative aide in Congress. Maury now is the executive director of Teach Advocacy Network, an organization which advocates for governmental funding for non-public schools. Under Maury's leadership, the organization has grown from a staff of one to an organization that, to date, has secured over $500 million, with a B, $1 billion in state funding to non-public schools. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition. We're going to talk about a lot of different subjects, but in particular, you're going to learn a thing or two about tips for negotiating. So those in the audience that are in the business world, don't say, well, what does politics have to do with me? Listening to Maury, you'll see what it has to do with you. You'll learn a thing or two. The importance of advocacy work. And, of course, interacting with elected officials when you have a particular agenda. With that intro, we give a warm welcome to Maury Litwack. Maury, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Yitzhak, thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Thank you so much. What a treat. Well, tell me about yourself. I mean, you went to yeshiva, and now you're advocating on behalf of yeshivas. Was it in third grade that you dreamt? Did you have a dream of the role that you're actually in now?
Yeah, it's funny, by the way, because this is a business show I've listened before, and people's journey is always not as clear. So
right.
When you're a teenager or you're speaking to people and you speak to young individuals, they'll tell you, well, I want to be from point A to point Z. And anyone who's been successful at anything will tell you that there's a lot of bumps along the way.
Right.
So people always ask me, well, how do you get into politics? And I said, well, What happened was, I was gonna be a lawyer.
Okay.
And I was gonna be a lawyer. I was thinking about doing the lawyer. I took my LSATs, and it was a disaster, and that didn't work. And I was doing some entry level jobs when I was just graduating college, and I got fired from both of them. And I said, this is absolutely, you know,
not working,
right? And I always tell people, I say, sometimes the best thing you can do is get fired, because it sort of makes you wake up. Right. And there was a little, there was an internship for Blue Cross Blue Shield, one of the big insurance providers.
Sure.
And they were working on at the time, something called the Patient's Bill of Rights and different things that were going on. And I worked in the web department of Blue Cross Blue Shield. Mm-hmm. And I was processing like different very, very menial, boring things that were happening on the website. And on the right of me, right near me, was this other shop where people were screaming and excitement was happening and they were yelling and they were wheeling, dealing and pinstripe
suits.
That
got your attention.
And I said, whoa, whoa, wait, what's that department over there? And the website said to me, and the IT side could be fun. They said, oh, those are the lobbyists. Those are the people who do the advocacy. I said, oh, what is this? So I ended up getting another internship in a big lobbying shop, one of the biggest at the time, and working and just seeing really the same dynamic, which was lawyers were, again, love lawyers, who were doing 15, mm-hmm. 20 hours a day of a lot of paperwork, a lot of different things, which are very important. But the lobbyists were doing something else. The advocates were doing something else on behalf of clients.
Mm-hmm.
Casinos one day, insurance another day, business another day. And a lot of it was about not just closing deals. A lot of it was negotiating. But it was advocacy in a very profound and interesting way. And I went from there to work in Congress and work as an advocate. And I sort of never looked back. But I've always really, really enjoyed the part of I have a cause, I have a passion, I have mm-hmm. a business interest. The government needs to hear from me, and the outsider looking in. And I've been an insider, and I've always enjoyed the outsider part far more than work. And in Congress, I can tell you some stories. A lot of fun, a lot
share
of interesting
some.
Stuff. Sure. So
put you on the spot here.
Yeah. So in Congress, I think Congress is an example of where sometimes people think of things at a distance, whether it's in business or life.
Right.
And they say, it's Congress. Like, how do I approach them? How do I work? So people spend so much time and effort getting to D.C., meeting with the congressman, taking the picture. And I watched again and again. I used to take 50 meetings a day. The congressman would take 100 meetings a day. And I worked for two congressmen. And I'd watch as someone put in hundreds of hours to get that meeting, money, paid lobbyists or others, and they'd show up. And we were all very good, smooth talkers.
Right.
And instead of talking about their issue, whether it was energy or it was transportation or mm-hmm. something very important, they would discuss the baseball game. Or they would discuss what did the congressman think of the president and what he did, et cetera.
And, I mean, it totally blew the opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the opportunity is blown time and time and time again. And the people who did actually succeed in focusing on their issue – and you have to remember, by the way, it's a two-sided, just like in any negotiation or business.
Right.
So a lot of times someone comes in with an issue, we don't want to talk about it, I'd make sure that we didn't talk about it.
Right.
So I talk about baseball with them. But there was a smaller percentage that would actually talk about the issues and really force our hand and say, you have to be accountable to do this. And that group would dwindle to an even smaller group, because most of those people would never follow up. Just like in sales, just like in business, they wouldn't follow up with the congressman, they wouldn't follow up with me. And the small part that did follow up, they would follow up in a way was annoying, had no value. There's no value proposition to us. So they would email or call or bother us, et cetera.
Yeah,
and that's it. And then there was a small group that the meeting started with, I want to have a relationship. And the meeting started with, I want to know what your interests are, Congressman Maury, and I want you to know what my interests are and what I care about. And those were relationships, and there was follow-up. And there was value, because if you come into the congressman's office and you say something represents something that he should care, his 600,000 constituents should care about, then you better be able to demonstrate that at least two care about it other than you, because he knows one does. Do two? Do four? Do eight? Do 16? And most people can't get that far. And again, I just think there's tremendous comparable to that. And I went from working in Congress, having Working in Congress for, I just mentioned them, I worked for Chris Cannon and John Doolittle,
okay,
who were from Utah and Northern California, two Mormon members of Congress, and I was the first and only Orthodox Jew in working for them. I actually think I was the only Jewish member, Jewish staffer to work for them, and I remember, I mean, for the Jewish listeners, especially the Orthodox Jewish listeners, there's a religious affinity,
right?
Obviously. And I remember taking meetings we represented Provo, Utah, which is like Borough Park. And so we represented them, and we would go, and I remember going to Provo, and they were so excited that the Mormon community, not just because there's a real affinity to Israel and that community in especially, but just an understanding of faith. And coming back to what I was saying previously, again, relationships. So right. I was able to be a credible person because I understood their issues, because I have those issues as well. So for example, they have Sunday observance. They don't do anything on Sunday observance. We have Saturday observance. So a lot of they wear religious garments. We wear religious garments. Right. Just right. A mutual respect on a lot of those things. So I did that as well. I left there to go work for Miami-Dade County.
Okay.
And I had the time of my life. I didn't know what I was going to do after I left Congress. I knew I wanted to be on the outside.
Okay.
And I went to work for Miami-Dade County. And essentially Miami-Dade County, most people don't know this, but influence and relationships is so important in D.C. and in state capitals, etc., that even major municipalities pay to have themselves represented in those areas. So, for example, New York City has an office in Washington, D.C., with 10, 15 staffers and a lobbyist and others who represent the issues of New York City. And there were probably, let's say 5 to 10 real heavy hitters in municipal politics in D.C. And they were Cook County. You had Los Angeles County, mm-hmm. And you had Miami-Dade County. Now, Miami-Dade County is the sixth largest county in the country. It represents Miami. Right. It represents a tremendous amount, 2.8 million residents. It was huge. And it was a great experience because for two reasons. One is, again, that relationships that are critical. I made relationships with individuals in the Haitian community. I made relationships with individuals in the Cuban community. I relayed relationships with individuals in obviously the Jewish community,
right,
who had interests and needs within the county. But what's fascinating was going as a county representative into Congress and saying this is important is a very interesting thing. And believe it or not, there are the same thing I was talking about before exists in this as well. You'd think that if the mayor of Miami or the mayor of New York City, or any mayor, shows up in Congress, all of a sudden...
Right, you're thinking the world stops.
Oh, the world stops. By the way, the only time the world stops in D.C. is if like a quarterback or someone else shows up. So, I may have 30 meetings a day. But when I got to meet Steve Young, I said, well, what do you need? So you know, the only time it I actually have a good story about Carole King, the singer.
Okay.
So Carole King is I was actually late for a vote one day.
Okay.
And I was it was the old days of the BlackBerry, and I was right. typing on my BlackBerry, and I was busy, and I was waiting for the congressman to come out of the legislative session while he was voting.
Right.
And this woman comes over to me and starts talking to me and saying, "What's the vote about, others?" And I said, "I got to finish my business." She says, "Oh, sorry, can you tell me about such and such, and you know where it is, and I'm interested in learning." And I said, "I'm really sorry.
Right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, come on." Yeah. So then Senator comes over to me and he says, "Young man, what did Carole King have to say to you?" I said, that's Carole King. Like, she's this famous singer. So I've never really listened to her music or anything. But so, you know, you get those celebrities on the Hill, and you get those celebrities in politics, and people all of a sudden perk up. But when it comes to, like a mayor or something, it's all about your relationship and your issues. So the same thing happened. We had to build relationships. So we realized when we were in Miami-Dade County, the reason why they didn't know about the fact that the cruise ships couldn't properly come in and bring business in was because there's a layer of filth and garbage at the bottom of the water, which need to be dredged. So we had to get federal money for dredging. Or Miami International needs an expansion so we can compete with Fort Lauderdale. Those types of things, in order to do that, you need relationships. So we started congressman by congressman there in Florida, introducing them, explaining them what we were doing, and we started holding missions. The police came up. The fire came up. Everyone came up again and again and again. And I think it's, you know, they do very well now. I'm very proud to have been part of that when they were starting it up. And I still have very good, deep relationships with it there. But that's my background. My background is as someone who really cares a great deal about trying to take an issue and move it along. And I've sort of just never looked back from that.
You know, it's fascinating how much business advice you shared in these initial 15 minutes. I mean, anyone that doesn't see or anyone that's not able to pick up on how these tips can apply to their business, I don't know what else to say. But so much of what you shared is actually portable in terms of business life. Before we go to a commercial break, I want to remind the listeners, our giveaway this week is actually only one more day. A couple of weeks ago, we had Lawrence Gerard of FruitStreet.com. And remember, these are at a $500 value giveaway. It's wild stuff. It's a Fitbit, a free a wireless bathroom scale, and a whole it's FruitStreet.com. You go to it, and it's a way of getting your health in check. All you have to do, again, three lucky listeners are going to win it. This thing expires on October 31st, so you just have a day and a half left to get this down, or 2 days left. 64600, text over MYB. Again, text over MYB to 64600 for your chance to enter. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Are you looking to receive a greater return on your commercial real estate investments? LP Servicing, a division of Eastern Union Funding, the leading commercial real estate funding firm, can help you strengthen your investments, broaden your network, and handle your headaches. For more information, visit lpservicing.com. LP Servicing provides services that enhance your ability to get the deal done. It's just that simple. Visit www.lpservicing.com. Again, that's lpservicing.com. LP Servicing. Turn your investments into something bigger.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening, none other than Maury Litwack, and we're recording here live on location at the OU. Now, Maury, before we get into a certain question that, well, I'll just ask the question that I want to get to, and that is some differences between working with elected officials on the federal level, the state level, and the local level. But before we get to that, talk to us about Teach Advocacy, the nature of it, the impact. Talk about it.
The best way to describe what we're doing at Teach Advocacy Network is really to think about government programs and the choice that people have in life. And if you receive Medicare or Medicaid, you can choose the hospital in which you go to. Mm-hmm. You can choose whether or not you're going to go to a Catholic hospital mm-hmm. with a crucifix in it. You can choose to go to a Jewish hospital with a Star of David in it. Mm-hmm. And when you do HUD-assisted living, the choice is made where you want to live. No one says to you, you have to live here. You have a choice of options of where you do it. When you have food stamps, and people unfortunately have to take food stamps and food aid, young mothers, et cetera, need, you have a choice. You can pick halal, you can pick kosher, you can pick whatever you do. In America, there's one thing that has suffered from a lack of choice, and that's education. And unfortunately, this lack of choice has been going on for too long. And there's still, for example, districts where public school children can't pick where they want to send, where they want to go to school. So I had a nanny who I was trying to work with because her son was brilliant and was put into only one public school system. and he was not getting treated well, and he really wanted to be in a different school system. And because there isn't a choice in education, he didn't have the choice of where to go. Similarly, for myself, who has four children in Yeshiva Day School, I wanted a choice of where to send them to. Mm-hmm. And that choice, which obviously in the Jewish world, the Catholic world, is not so much of a choice, because this is a community we live in, and this is a requirement in the community to send to Jewish day school. It's our culture, it's our heritage, it's something we want to champion, mm-hmm. and we want our kids to be part of. And that's what Teacher Advocacy Network is about. It's about adding that choice and that option to the list of government programs that merit in America the freedom to really choose where you want to do that. And in society today, government is looking at all kinds of things and saying, how can we be more inclusive? How can we give people the choice to live their lives in a way where they can thrive in America? And education has to be like that from top down. Now, we're looking at it in a particular manner. We're looking at it from the non-public school manner, mm-hmm. because you have Jewish, Catholic, Muslim, other schools that really care a great deal about the public school system, mm-hmm. but also care a great deal about their school systems, right. and the current model is not sustainable in many of these schools for these children to thrive. And it's something that we work on with the government, because if you think about it, there's really two reasons why this is such a good investment in non-public school education by state and local government is such a good opportunity. And it's really an opportunity. Number one is because every time a parent chooses to send their children into a non-public school, it's saving a state
right.
tens of thousands
right.
of dollars.
No right. question. Right. Per child, what, 18, 26, whatever it was.
Right.
It, yeah.
But even more important, when we invest in a Jewish day school student or private, mm-hmm. private individuals invest in a Catholic school student, mm-hmm. we did an economic study. And do you know that we actually generate revenue for the state? Billions of dollars.
Hmm.
And you know why we do? Because every time there's a Jewish school or Catholic school, they have to buy desks, and they have to buy insurance.
Right. That's even after they build.
And there's masonry, and there's union, and then all kinds of things. And when we show that to politicians, they said, this has got to change. You're right. It's not just saving money. It's investing money. And when you go and there are people who reflexively say, well, we can't. But when you make the argument and you explain it to them the way it was just articulated, I've never ran into a politician who didn't say there's a way for us to do more. For example, terrible anti-Semitism in the country this past year. So politicians stepped up state after state through our advocacy to provide security funding to New York Jewish day school students, New Jersey Jewish day school students, in Maryland, in California, in Florida for the first time. We had Governor Scott in Florida
right.
2 weeks
Big
ago
story.
Announcing more funding. Governor Cuomo was a right. leader on this, set the tone for the first governor to do this. Because these governors recognize in a bipartisan manner that an investment in these children is an investment for their state.
You know, it's so special how you're articulating the argument. You know, it's all a matter of packaging it and the narrative. When it comes out to, because we know that the other side has arguments as well, but You just can't refute the way you clarified it and explained it, and especially the example about, you know, hospitals, there's choice, food, there's choice, housing, there's choice. And it comes to our kids' education, why isn't there a choice? It's really a good question, and really when it's articulated and packaged, it's a question. You deal on the federal level, state level, and the local level. Maybe you could describe that dynamic, how that all works for our listeners.
Well, I think I'm a sports fan.
Okay.
And I think...
Well, you're not going to say major leagues and little leagues right now.
I'm going to...
You may get into trouble. You know, we're not that far from City Hall.
I know. I'm going to go for it, though. I'm going to say I think that in unfortunately,
okay.
many people view the government breakdown the following.
Okay.
They view Congress as... the major leagues.
Okay.
They view the state government and local politics as the minor leagues, and that's how they view it. And maybe in that order. Maybe it's federal, state, local. Right. That's yeah. how they view it. And it's not only wrong and bafflingly wrong way to view it, but it's a lack of civic education in terms of who actually has an impact on your day-to-day life. So people kvetch about taxes, and then they say the congressman's going to go deal with it. Well, that's not true. most of the time, your taxes are set by your local municipality. And people kvetch about transportation. And they say the roads need to be clear. So I'll tell the senator about that. But that's not true. That's your state
councilman,
legislator basically. Or councilman or whatever it may be. And I think that if people realized that, I mean, there are some of the most sophisticated, articulate politicians I've ever met live and breathe state and local politics. And they've been operating as speakers, as heads of government for 20, 30, 40 years. And they have over billions of dollars in their control and impact on local life. And I think, unfortunately, in America, the 24-hour news cycle does not cover a lot of that. And I think the decline in journalism, those beat reporters that you used to see in local and state government aren't there to sort of make that case. And I have meetings all the time where I say, I think you can make a difference. And I think you can go to a state politician or a local politician and do that. And people say to me, no, you're wrong, Maury. It's not going to happen. I say, well, who are your local and state politicians?
They don't even know.
They don't even know.
Shut up.
Yeah, I mean, they don't. But again, that's a misunderstanding.
Right.
Congressman's a cooler title than councilman.
Right, councilman. Not realizing
Senators,
that in most cases of where a person lives, the councilman will have far greater impact.
Hugely important. Hugely important. And I think the other thing is that having worked for a congressman and worked in municipal government, right. I can tell you, and worked in state politics for a long time, is I can tell you that it is far easier to get to develop a relationship, like we talked about at the beginning of the program, with a local or state politician than it is with a federal politician. A federal politician oftentimes has everyone banging down their door, not just people from their district, but people from around the country who care about an issue.
Right, because
on tax reform,
reform
we're hearing about right now. Mm-hmm. Who's your congressman?
My particular congressman, you're catching me off blank. That's okay.
That's a good example.
That's a good example. No, I happen to know it. It's just my focus is on Maury.
Yeah,
so yes,
exactly.
My mind's not
So I live in Jersey, and my congressman is Gottheimer. That's who my congressman.
Right.
Brew,
okay.
New, fresh congressman. Mm-hmm. Great guy. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's Gottheimer is not only being lobbied and petitioned by people within where I live,
mm-hmm.
but he's being lobbied and petitioned by people all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a vote as part of the tax reform process. It takes a long time to get those meetings like we talked about.
Right.
Do you know what it takes to go see your city councilman or state senator?
I mean, literally, you could just show up, knock on the door, or whatever.
Knock on the door or ask for a phone call back.
Right.
Almost none of them will not respond. When I was in Congress, I used to type up the letters and say, Congressman thinks of this on your issue, that an issue. You know what a state politician or city councilman does? Often they write those letters.
I got to share a story back in, and it will come to me soon about my congressman, but that's a very fair question. Everyone should know who it is. I know it's actually a congresswoman, and I'm blanking on her name, but it'll come to me in a minute or so. A couple of years back, Mayor Bloomberg decided to reroute all the school bus routes. This goes back around 10 years, something like that. I remember in January. I mean, go figure. I don't know what the deal was, but he decided to reroute all the bus routes. I remember I told my wife, I said, you know what? Call the local congressman. He's not there anymore. It's the one who was before Chaim Deutsch in that district. And Michael Nelson at the time. I said, call and explain what it is. Okay. Sure enough, I'm going to share something a little confidential, but it's important for the listeners to know. I said, I'm curious. Tell me back what happens if they just answered you or, okay. They took that old information. They then said, we'll call you right back. Okay. They called her back within 2 minutes and said, yes, Mrs. Saflis, we're going to work on it. And sure enough, actually, within the week, we got our daughter's spot back right away. Now, I don't want to say for sure this is what happened, but there's a chance. They went to their database and they see if we vote. Now, this is something that's a little delicate because people don't like to admit this, but I'm going to ask the audience a question. If you go to your local laundromat, right, or your local laundry, you know, you give in your shirts, your suits, and stuff like that, fine, and you don't use them for 2 years, and then one weekend you need a rush turnaround, you need a shirt, you're giving it in, you need it in 3 hours, are you going to go to the one that you used to use but you don't you don't use presently, you're going to expect them to deliver it for you. People don't realize, they think, okay, a politician represents their elected official, and it's true, but you have to be part of the process. If you don't vote, it's not fair to expect them to then respond to you. And that's why at the core of everything we do and everything that's done by Teach Advocacy, every single person needs to vote, and that's why actually the timing is very good. I know this year is a bit of an off election. It's still, I always tell my friends, just go and turn the knob for one person. Go into that voting booth, just turn the knob. What you're doing is you're showing you're part of the process, and when you need service, no one will admit this publicly, but you will get service if you vote. If you don't vote, and not saying you won't get service, but it's not fair to expect in return. So I don't know if you want to comment on this. I'm going a little delicate.
Let me give you 10 seconds on it. I absolutely think that politicians have to run for re-election. They absolutely look at who votes and who doesn't vote. They'll openly talk about that because they want people to vote. They're encouraging it. I think that I can't remember what the number was. I think it was like 40% of Americans didn't vote in this major election last year. But I will tell people, if you want to inspire yourself and not just do it for your business or you not just do it for your issue, whatever it is, you want to inspire yourself, speak to a service man or woman, speak to someone in the military and ask them about voting and ask them about their thoughts on it. I think there's just an unfortunate perspective that it's a chore, it's a burden, and if you speak to someone who defends our rights and you talk to them about it, there'll be oftentimes, and I've had these conversations, that'll inspire you. Because that's really an American idea and something that people have to think about. And I think if you want to do it because of the way exactly what Yitzhak said, which is that there are issues.
You'll need him one day.
You need to vote because, you know.
Don't just think, I know that in the Jewish world people think, okay, it's a mitzvah. Don't just do it for that. Do it realizing that there are so many decisions, whether it's for Israel, whether it's security, whether it's, you know, housing, all the issues that are important to any community, they're being decided by elected officials, and they study, whether it's on the individual level or EDs, ADs, we're not going to get into all the specifics, but they spot who votes, and those are the ones that get service. You know,
I think you certainly, any elected official will tell you, they will spend more time and more energy on the people who show up, and whether or not you're going to show up in their office, you're going to show up in City Hall or State Capitol, or you're going to show up at the voting booth, that's what's going to get a politician's attention.
My guest this evening is none other than Maury Litwack, Executive Director of the Teach Advocacy Network, right here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Polling data, anyone? Hold on, we'll get right on that. Election day is Tuesday?
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-7364. 500 seniors. That's 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
Are you looking to receive a greater return on your commercial real estate investments? LP Servicing, a division of Eastern Union Funding, the leading commercial real estate funding firm, can help you strengthen your investments, broaden your network, and handle your headaches. For more information, visit lpservicing.com. LP Servicing provides services that enhance your ability to get the deal done. It's just that simple. Visit www.lpservicing.com. Again, that's lpservicing.com. LP Servicing. Turn your investments into something bigger.
And we're back. Mind your business here on 77 WABC and, of course, around the world at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. I want to remind the listeners that every single previous broadcast is available by going to the easiest way is mybradio.com, mybradio.com. I'll list off a couple of recent guests: John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi; Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie; Dr. Adrienne Boise, chief experience officer at the Cleveland Clinic; of course, the famous, they're all famous, but Captain Sully Sullenberger, Miracle on the Hudson. We had James Rosebush on, former senior advisor to President Ronald Reagan and author of True Reagan. That was a pretty cool interview. Jason Robinson, the director of marketing at UPS; Shep Hyken, world-renowned customer service expert; and so many other great guests. They're all easily accessible by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. If you like to listen to it on iTunes, on your computer, many of them have video episodes, all available by going to mybradio.com. Also want to remind the listeners, our giveaway this evening, and the winner is going to be drawn on Wednesday the 1st, so it runs out, there's only two more days, is the amazing giveaway that we discussed with Lawrence Gerard from fruitstreet.com. You get 1 year subscription, and it includes, I think, a Fitbit and a wireless bathroom scale, the whole thing. You want to get your fitness into shape? I'm joining too, as I discussed on that show. No secret. All you got to do is send a text to 64600. Put in the letters MYB for Mind Your Business. That simple. It's actually a $500 value, and three lucky listeners are going to win it. That's pretty cool. A $1,500 total giveaway here. All you got to do is send a text, 64600 MYB. Just put in those letters. Anyways, now back to our guests. Maury Litwack, the executive director of the Teach Advocacy Network. Again, Maury, thank you for taking up your precious time for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Oh, I love this. Exciting. By the way, great company. Well, look at who I'm
with. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You touched on it before. Nowadays, media, Trump came out with this in the interview we had earlier this week, and he's, of course, right, where he said, "I would not have won this election without social media." And that's no great concept that he shared, because it is true for anyone that understands it. He would never have been able to get past the media, which of course was not too favorable to him, without having direct access to the people. So when we talk about it from your early days, when you had to cultivate relationships, and now you even mentioned, you said that beat reporters have been phased out on many levels. How, is all lost? How does someone navigate that world these days?
Well, I think that that you look at new media and you just have to realize I had to get a new doctor recently. Okay. I got a new doctor, okay. So I went to the doctor's office, and the doctor said, "Well, how did you find out about me?" He said, "Because we did this, and we tried this to market, et cetera." And I said, "I Googled it. And you had a 5-star rating." Now, my wife will hate to hear this, because that's men. I spoke to my friends, are like, "Oh, yeah, it's a totally great process to find a doctor." So I found a doctor and he's 5-star rating. And he said, "Oh, I paid a firm to do this and get me up there," because, he's more of a millennial type of doctor, I would say. And he said that's how it's done. And I think if you have to realize how people operate in business and how they operate in life. So just like I Google, and I say, what's a good doctor here in Jersey? Journalists, if there is a story or there is something happening, they do not look at their inbox and wait for a press release to come in. They do not look to their phone and wait for you to pick up the phone and call. They go on to Twitter, because on Twitter is where all the journalists live, and they're being fed, and they hashtag, and they can find it, and et cetera.
In seconds.
Exactly. So We've done a lot of advocacy. Mm-hmm. Some where we praise, some where we go to battle. We say this is unacceptable.
Right.
The most successful way we've gotten those messages out is I tag a reporter, We tweet our messaging out, and we do that. But understand, there's new media. That's how I started.
Mm-hmm.
But there's old, the basic things, just like in sales, which is you still have to have that relationship. There may not be the same types of cold calling. There may not be those types of things that happen. But you have to have that relationship. So you can't just tag reporters and expect for them to follow up. They don't know if you're a credible source or not. So you still have to go out there and have coffee and have your lunch and do that. But don't expect to – you can't – you have to have both. You got to have that relationship. You got to have that integral part, which will never change. Businesses are built in relationship. Life is built in relationships.
It's such a great point you're raising, because people in today's world – to a fault will then move, okay, so everything now moved to social media and almost ignore human relationships, not realizing, hey, wait a second, God created us all, God created mankind, we're all eternally going to be wired a certain way, we're all humans. True, there's new forms of media. Can't ignore a role for Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, etc. Those are just new avenues, but at the end of the day, that handshake in D.C. with a congressman, with a senator, etc., These will, you know, and especially if you get that picture and you send it and you follow up with them. You know, and let me ask you a question. You know, how important is it sometimes to send a good old-fashioned letter by mail?
Oh, I think it's beyond important. It's just not done.
Stands out even more because so few people do it.
Yeah, it's a lost art. I also think the art of saying thank you is lost. Hmm. I think the art of saying is something we were taught as children. And that's just completely lost. We deal with that all the time. We say thank you. And I can't tell you how, you know, the difference between just saying thank you, even on small acts, and ignoring that in terms of maintaining a relationship, continuing a relationship, are monumental. You have to thank people. So these are a letter is a form of a thank you. It means you took the time to write it and say thank you.
Hmm. Now, I know it's delicate to bring this up, but just for the amazing work that Teach Advocacy does, when you receive a letter from the head of a school or a parent, it must be very special.
It's very special, and you know, I'm reminded when you're saying that of a few years back, we tried to bring a lot of yeshivas and non-public school students to Albany,
right?
And we couldn't. And I'll never forget Phil Goldfeder, who was
an assemblyman
at the time. Mm-hmm. He told a small group of us, maybe 12 to 18, he said, you know, I care about these issues. I live these issues. He said, but why the Catholic community send me more letters than the Jewish community does? And I live in the Jewish constituency. Where is that? And it really resonated with my folks. And 2 years later, we brought 600 people to Albany.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was a lot of saying thank yous and writing thank yous and doing that. You know, it's part. You got to do that.
You saw those signs when Trump was in Dallas this week. That I played hooky to come see you.
Oh yeah, it's just there's just not enough of coupling the basics of a relationship with new media. So you gotta. It's not enough, and you can't say I emailed someone. It's done. I texted them. I tweeted at them. I tagged mm-hmm. them on Facebook.
Right.
Did you call them?
Right.
Did you want to have to meet lunch with them?
Letter.
Did you write a letter? Did you do that? And coupling. Do it together.
Now, I want to spend some time I understand you're on the lecture circuit. We're going to get to that soon. But just this morning, again, we're recording here Thursday, there was some event, and we know that still, you know, Puerto Rico and the Caribbean islands have suffered terribly from a rash of hurricanes that hit it over the last couple of months. I understand that OU, which is really the parent of Teach Advocacy Network, was involved in some special way. Maybe you could just share it.
Well, I think it's, you know, when we were involved in Houston, we mm-hmm. were involved in Florida. I mean, we've been very, very involved in relief efforts, and not just recently, but for many years, when these crises hit, we call upon the Jewish community to roll up its sleeves, contribute, volunteer. We have this division of the OU called NCSY,
right,
which actually
sure.
sends teenagers, a beautiful thing, to do relief work. Just mm-hmm. fantastic. If people want to check that out, it's really amazing. And we as an organization really believe in this. And today, You know, when today there was an announcement by Governor Cuomo with our Executive Vice President Alan Fagan and a bunch of UPS and other business leaders who the announcement was that the governor is traveling today to Puerto Rico to continue relief efforts. I saw startling statistics in terms of a majority still don't have proper water.
Yeah.
I actually just tweeted that out because I thought it was just horrible. And the announcement was is that we as an organization are contributing to that relief effort. We as an organization, we sent our top professional there because we're working with the governor on that because we believe that this is something that the Jewish community inherently cares about. And we don't want people to forget about Puerto Rico, and we don't want people to our community or the broader New York community or nationally. And when I spoke to Governor Cuomo's staff about this, they said, "Maury, this is a national issue, and we're a national organization, and we want to do it. But I want to bring it back to so much we've talked about here, which is relationships, which is we're Americans, and you can be a Jewish American." You can be a Puerto Rican American. I mean, Puerto Ricans are Americans.
That's right.
But you can be.
That's right. Whatever nationality, race,
wherever you want to be. But there are Puerto Ricans in New York. There are Jews in New York. There's all kinds of communities. We have to be there for each other, especially when it comes to disaster relief.
Very special. Very special. You're tuned to Mind Your Business here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be right back.
Who's coordinating that fundraiser? Yes. Hold on one second. Did anyone follow up with that donor?
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great, so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Hi, this is Yitzhak Saflis of Mind Your Business. Well, I'm happy to announce that recently Mind Your Business joined C-Suite TV. Well, are you looking for some great business content other than right here on this show? Then check out C-Suite TV and watch in-depth interviews and business content for C-level executives and entrepreneurs. Watch and get insider secrets on demand by going to csuitetv.com. Again, that's csuitetv.com. C-Suite TV, business insights on demand.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-SENIORS. That's 516-500-7364. Or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. And of course, many are tuned in on the great 77 WABC app, which of course you could pick up easily around the world. My guest this evening is none other than Maury Litwack. We're sharing some great conversation. In case you're just tuning in, no worries. As the listeners know, by sometime late Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning, the entire episode is up at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Of course, we alert everyone through various different social media channels, and you can get to hear because, I mean, Maury shared a lot of information that is pertinent for your knowledge on how government works, but then also a lot of information that an executive in business, and in whatever level of business you're on that chain, on that ladder, you can apply in order to get you ahead in today's business world. Maury, I understand you're on the lecture circuit. Now, you clearly know how to speak. I mean, anyone tuned in for the last 45 minutes, you know, has heard you and the way that you articulate stuff. What is that all about, and how many different era are you flying around the country? Just talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, we the idea behind the lecture circuit was that I talked a lot about the work we're doing in the Jewish community and broader, and I think that we've had an incredible level of success, and I don't think people know about it. And I took, you know, I taken the advice of colleagues and others who say, you got to get out there. You got to get out there. You got to tell people what we're doing, and you have to.
And I apologize here. And I know how frustrating that is.
Oh,
because it's great. Like, you put in hundreds of hours a month, right? You put in 60-hour weeks, and you're in Albany, and you're in Washington, and you're in City Hall, etc. And like, why don't they get it? But you got to be out there,
right? And in particular, you know, in the Jewish community, there's something called the tuition crisis, which is just the stifling cost of education. And
the single highest cost for any Jewish household.
Oh, yeah. And it was actually, in a recent poll, it was said to be the number one issue by far. And you look at that, and I put in my lecture series in the notes, the lecture is going to be taking place in Brooklyn, in Queens.
Nice.
I just did it in New Jersey. It's going to be in Miami. It's going to be in Philadelphia, and in Long Island. And there's more places, and Cherry Hill, New Jersey. We're doing a lot of places. And the lecture series goes something like this. There's a problem. We've found a way to alleviate the problem through really dedicated
advocacy.
Mm-hmm. There's something you can do. There's an action you can take. You need to show up. You need to participate. You need to be involved. And
that has to be told.
It has to be told. And when we did the first one in Jersey last week, I was thrilled by the fact that everyone who came, signed up, said they're going to take an action and they're going to do it. But not enough people showed up still because there's a lot of cynicism and people believe that nothing's possible when there's a crisis. And so I put in my notes that a crisis of that proportion requires a thoughtful, long-term solution over a sustained period of time. And if you want to get off of social media and you want to do something, you show up. Because like we talked about before, there's a lot of, okay, I'm going to Facebook or tweet or concern about it. But are you going to show up? Are you going to work hard? Are you going to do something? And I think that's so pertinent to your listeners who hear about business issues, who hear about personnel issues, managerial issues. They're trying to solve problems for their business, for their community, for a cause they believe in. These things take time. There's efforts. There's results. But you have to apply yourself over a sustained period of time, and you have to get out there. You have to tell your message, and people, when they show up, they hear it, it resonates, and things happen.
And I come back to what I mentioned before. Anytime, whatever, you know, again, if it's a business, you have to communicate a message. You're doing advocacy work, as Maury had mentioned, you have to build those relationships, and it takes time. You know, so many people think like, okay, you know, I sent them an email. You sent one email? Oh, good. The congressman should like take an Uber to your house to like show up and be like, hello. You know, and it's frustrating for those that do so much, people like Maury and the whole advocacy network that are doing so much for everyone. I mean, people should really write a letter to Maury saying thank you for all the work he's doing. But in general, how you can apply it on your level, make sure that whatever you're doing, you're building those relationships. And like you said, have something strategic, and it has to be sustainable, because that's the only way that you'll actually see results. And it's no different than anything else in life. And you got to put time into it. A healthy marriage, you got to put time into it. It's not just, you know, you say hi to your wife. You got to show, you know, interest and cultivate it, you know, the whole thing.
There's a great book called The One Thing, and it's all about taking that one action. And instead of telling your employees to do 50 things, say, what's the one thing that'll transform the rest of your week? And I think the same thing here happens here. You want your one thing that you write a thank you note to me? I don't need a thank you note. You want your one thing that you disagree with me? Great. At least you're taking an action. You want your one thing that you finish this program while you're exercising or you're driving somewhere, etc., and you say, you know what, I have a really important issue and I want to contact my politician? Then do that. Do one thing. Take some action. And that's all we're asking people to do.
Before I get to my last question for Maury, I want to remind the listeners that Election Day is coming up. Even though I forgot who my senator is, not my center. Of course, we know Chuck Schumer.
But your one thing is you're going to look it up.
I am going to look it up. And of course, I know who she is. Right now, I'm drawing a blank. But hey, this is radio, so I'm caught. You know, hey, that's life. It's all good. But everyone, but one thing. I am a super prime voter.
Oh,
yes,
good.
Vote. And actually, I'm excused this year. I mean, not excused. I got to go vote. Of course, a big year on the local level. But of course, in the federal level, everyone knows this is not a federal election year.
No.
So therefore, the fact that I remember there's no noise and it's just off my radar screen at the moment. But of course, I'll be voting. It's coming up actually in the second Tuesday from this one. Just a week and a half is election day here in the New York area. Maury, before, as we draw to a close, any final thoughts that you wish to share with the listeners of Mind Your Business? I know there's so much running through your mind. I'm sorry.
I think that the political process is important. Mm. I think that it's important because it teaches us so many lessons about what we can achieve and what we can do. And I think that there's an unfortunate absence of real voices and dedicated volunteers within that process for a cause, for your issue, for your business. Pay attention to this. It's worth the time, and it's about being an American citizen that you can vote and you can have that democratic process. Don't ignore it. Participate. And that would be my message to your listeners.
Maury, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you. Fantastic.
What a great show. That wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. Tune in again next Sunday night at 10 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.